We have our scripture passages written in your bulletins, and just have a little bit of a reflection with the passages as a part of them. And I share this. It was actually inspired last Thursday. We were having a staff meeting, and we're talking about the music that was going to be in the service today. In one of the pieces, the second piece that we're going to be listening to is Ave Maria. So that got me thinking, you know, about Mary. And Ave Maria means Hail Mary. And then later on in that staff meeting, I got a call that was further inspirational that I will talk about later. And all this got me thinking about these two passages that you have before you. And the first one actually follows, that's from Luke 1:38, and it follows Luke 1:28, which is the, you know, Hail Mary, God is with you, and so forth. And the two passages, and I actually never thought about these, you know, together before. They're spoken by two different people, Mary and Jesus. They are two completely different sets of words, and yet they're really identical in message. The first is spoken by Mary, and this is her response to her first moment of awareness that Jesus was to be born, and that her son would be the Christ, the Messiah. Now, that's some pressure, for sure, right? And then the other words are spoken by Jesus, who's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on what would be become Maundy Thursday, just days before the end of his life, where he understood, he had his own epiphany, that his life was about to take this very, very brutal turn and a horrific end on the cross. So we have the very beginning, and we have almost the end. The passage from Luke 1:28 that precedes this Luke passage. The angel spoke to Mary, giving the news, saying, Hail Mary, the Lord is with you. Ave Maria, Hail Mary. Hail Mary, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. This was God's Hail Mary to humanity. And with Jesus coming into the world to her, to us, realize it's up to every single person in his or her own lifetime to try to catch that and then try to run with it. And the song Ave Maria, Hail Mary, creates a very beautiful spiritual space for spiritual reflection to give us yet one more opportunity to work on receiving that. And I was thinking about this Ave Maria on Thursday, because Mary inspires me. She inspires me. I think about her situation. She inspires me, especially when I may feel overwhelmed with a life change that's about to happen or that is happening. She inspires me when I have a big decision, when I may be feeling pressure, maybe when I am feeling confused or unsure or a little afraid of what to do next. And when I have my wits about me, I think about Mary. I think about her when she was just unbelievably pressed, when she was overwhelmed with the news that she would be giving birth to the Messiah of the whole world. And that kind of responsibility to be able to catch that Hail Mary and make that happen without flubbing it would be too much for just about anyone. But then I think about her and I think, you know, she was only 13. She was completely unprepared. She wasn't even married. So she would be shunned, she would be outcast by her community, and this whole thing was sure to throw her whole life, her world, into complete turmoil, which it did. You know, we remember, we just take even one little teeny part of that, which is just after the birth of Christ, where she and Joseph and Jesus all had to flee to Egypt to escape. They were refugees from King Herod, who wanted to kill Jesus. They needed safety. So in any event, Mary had every right to be completely overwhelmed because she correctly perceived that everything that she had previously known about her life was about to change in a massive and dramatic way. And even with the whole blessing of it all, that was also a part of it. To have your child go through everything that he eventually did, there was a certain amount of foreboding along with the blessing. So with all this being said, when she was presented with this awareness, this sense of being completely overwhelmed, what I think about and what guides me is, how did she respond? And how can that direct me in my own life and shape me? That's what gives me spiritual guidance in my times of feeling overwhelmed with impending change. And so her response, which is our first passage for today, is, "Let it be unto me according to your word." And she allowed herself to get into this profound and very, very strong, and this whole healing and resilient spiritual posture of saying, you know, God, I'm not going to fight you on this. And I may be afraid. I may be feeling overwhelmed, which she was. But, you know, I'm going to surrender. And I'm going to voluntarily and even enthusiastically, at least in time, to the best of my abilities, fully accept as best I can your lead and this change in my life, instead of fighting it, instead of fighting you, instead of fighting your will, or complaining, or begrudging, or spending my life dragging my heels, or waking up every morning bemoaning, oh God, why do I have to deal with this? And you can fill in the blank again. So when I find myself in these situations, which we all do, many, many, many times in life, although most often they are way less intense than Mary, although sometimes people deal with incredible things. What I do is I repeat these words. And I do so to help me process faster and better and stronger so I can help rebalance when things shift underneath my feet. And I try to absorb and repeat these words and become this posture as best I can. Let it be unto me according to your word. As a quick example, just to share with you, and this is an extraordinarily minor example, but I am in the process now of realizing this, and this was the call since last Thursday. Got a call in staff meeting that I might be going through the same hip surgery that I did 2 years ago, once again. And that might be happening as soon as the week following Easter. And it'll take me out for a few weeks, and then I'll be on crutches for, you know, 6 weeks or so, and then all the physical therapy and stuff that follows. And, you know, you folks have gone through this, and it'll either be that, and, you know, or it might be a whole new hip or so forth, and tons of you have had new hips. And we'll find out which it's going to be next week. But in hearing this, I realize that, you know, it doesn't just affect me and turn the tables, but it affects Laura, it affects my family, right? It affects you. And we all adjust, and it presents me with a shift. And so with that, I find myself going back to these incredibly powerful, strengthening, helpful, this posture of, you know, if this is what it's going to be, God, let it be unto me according to your will. And hopefully we will find healing and we will find help. And again, this is very, very minor to what some people go through. But it's an example of how this is helpful with turmoil and with change. And then the other thing that dawned on me was the realization that while this is Mary's posture, and she took with the advent of Christ arriving into the world, it's this exact same posture that Jesus took when confronted with the overwhelming and unthinkably torturous end of his life on the cross. And when he came to this realization in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you talk about a seismic shift and how to respond to that, how to deal with that in some way, what did he do? But in essence, he repeated, he embraced, he gave himself the exact same posture of my Father, if it's possible, so honest, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So, when I face difficult, unwelcome, possibly painful, overwhelming shifts in my life, I do look to Mary. I do look to Christ. I do try to take their posture as my posture. I repeat their words. I try to receive their spirit within those words and let that spirit shape and reshape and mold me, and in doing so to lift me and strengthen me for the new design which is about to come. And it's about spiritual footwork, recovery, regaining balance, strength, putting your feet squarely on the new terrain, on the new configuration, so you can work and live and love and laugh and welcome and not lay down, but fight for a new day. Let it be unto me according to your will. And by God, I will take your will and I will try my best to run with it, to catch it, to go with it as best as I can. Now, if it's possible, take this cup from me, however, not my will, but your will be done. May your strength be my strength. From God, from Christ, from Mary, for strength, and for life. Amen. God of our life, with all of our changes, with all of the seasons, with all of the stages of our lives, with all of the constant variety of life that you give us and that we face with its challenges and ups and downs and celebrations and sorrows and gifts, all these things that we face each week and each day, well, many times they come with excitement and anticipation of wonderful news, of new births and new vistas. Other times we can find that what we face can be draining, with sad or unwelcome news or challenges that seem too big for us alone and leave us wondering, how will we ever rise to the occasion to meet them? And those are the challenges that leave us praying that in order to face what we must face, that we might have your help, God, and your shepherding, and your guidance to be with us and to lead us and to strengthen our steps. And sometimes it's just that very next step, God, and then the next, and the next. And whether we find that we are in the moment of celebration and thanksgiving or in trepidation and trembling, how comforting it is to know that we can always return to you in love and in prayer, in quiet and in peace, knowing that like the prodigal son, we can always return home to you and to be welcomed with great love, and that in our return, if only it was a moment ago, we may be aware of your counsel and be open to your wisdom and be lifted by your strength. And when our strength is gone, that we may once again be refilled by you and pointed in the right direction to take that next loving and compassionate and courageous and healing step. And as your children, God, just like all children, we want to do our best. We try to do our best. But sometimes we fall short. And so as we do with our own children, may we feel your welcome and understanding and forgiveness with our shortcomings and with our attempts that we may call failures and you may call growth. May we sense your forgiveness and encouragement in the same way that we forgive and encourage our own children. And may we, as your instruments of healing and encouragement and tangible help in our challenging world, not just be touched by your grace and your light, but as full receivers of your grace and your light and your love, may we be bearers of it in the world with love, with faith, with hope, with grace, and with strength. This we pray. Amen.